Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, and I am so excited about the guest we've got today. This gentleman was a top 20 SC back in 2007. He fast-tracked to executive consultant in 180 days. He absolutely is a comma club member. He has getting paid on 7 levels of compensation. He's been a top 30 income earner for many, many years. He's also a million-dollar income earner. He dons the yellow jacket. Help me welcome national consultant, Pastor Kenny Smith. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I am so excited about having you on the show and learning from you today, and I appreciate you carving out the time to make it happen. I know all the folks that tune in and listen, they get so much out of the guests and the golden nuggets that they bring to the table. So, you know, with that being said, let's jump right in. Let's talk back, you know, back all those years ago before you were in the business. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what life was like before Ambit.
Well, you know, again, I'm a pastor. I pastor at church. I'm actually now moved and relocated to Rhode Island, but I pastored a church for many years. I was a praise and worship leader, you know, just really loving the Lord and really aggressive about wholeness in every area of our life. I really believe that God wanted us to live a lifestyle with nothing missing and not struggling and so forth. And yet I was struggling. I was trying to make ends meet and, like, you know, really trying to figure this thing out financially. And, you know, living in a 800 square foot apartment when Ambit found me. It found me through a referral, a guy that I've been always trying to get into every lotion, potion, pill, vitamin, Avon company that I'd ever done. And the guy's name is JR. He said, you know, I don't want to do that. But one day he was riding with Debbie Atkinson, and she asked him, he said, no, I don't want to do it. But she says, hey, look, do you know anybody? Who do you know? And he said, I know one guy. His name is Kenny Smith. And so she got my number from him and began to call me. And that's kind of how I got started. Before that, I couldn't make ends meet. I was robbing from Peter to pay Paul. But quite naturally now, God's been good to us, and life is really looking up, and we're thankful to God for that.
Yes, sir. There's no question about that. Now, let me ask you this. Now, was it the first time that you met with Debbie? You're like, I see the light. I got it. I'm signing up. Let's go.
I wish it was. You know, I had done everything, every lotion, poster, pill, vitamin. I had done everything. I was looking. I had just left a company called Prepaid Legal. Because Choice Back had actually ruined my income. And I was looking for the next deal, but I didn't know whether this was going to be the deal or not. I was looking at two things. So, no, I wasn't going, yes, yes, oh, yes, where you been all my life. I actually took 5 months to get started in this company. So, Debbie, I jokingly say Debbie stalked me for 5 months, but she just dripped on me. For 5 months, a couple of weeks or so, hey, she said, hey, Chris and Jerry's in town. Stop by, you know, look forward to seeing you. Bye. You know, just a real short little something every so often. And she never gave up on me, which is incredible because I know that she could have easily said, I don't know why this guy's not returning my phone calls. I don't know why he's not jumping into the business. I hear so much about it. He's a great networker, but he's not doing anything. So for 5 months, she dripped on me. So I was not saying, oh, yes, where you been? Oh, hallelujah, let's get started. I got started 5 months after her trying to get me to look at this opportunity. And the way she got me there, you know, I'm a little bit larger guy. You know, I'm overweight, so I'm working on that, though, but overweight. And so she said wisely, hey, we're having dinner over at Tortuga's restaurant. I said, I'll see you I'll see you there. So I got over there and met Steve Thompson, Philip Eckhart, Chris at the time, Chris Atkinson, and I met with Regina Gale. That's who showed me the Ambit Energy presentation in full. And then shortly after that, I got shot.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, if that superstar lineup wouldn't get somebody started, I don't know what would. That was an unbelievable lineup. I've not ever seen all those in the same room other than maybe at Ambition. So that's quite a lineup. So let's talk just maybe a little bit kind of about your elevator pitch, or maybe when you're talking to somebody, they see you. I've met you before, man. You got lots of personality, and folks, you know, maybe bump into you and say, man, what is it you do? What do you tell them?
You know, I just got off the elevator. Elevators ride is pretty short. So you kind of want to get the questions out there real quick that would maybe drive that question back to you. What are you doing? Why are you here? What brought you to town? So an elevator pitch is kind of like, hey, you know, hey, how you doing? Are you, how's the day going? Is it going well? Oh, good. Hey, where are you from? You know, and like, oh, I'm from Indiana. Okay, great. Yeah, great, great. Well, man, we're having some fun. I'm here on a little business. I'm trying to kind of get them to ask me, oh, what are you doing? So I'm having a little business, and, you know, just trying to, you know, get some things together. I'm from Houston, Texas. I offer a little invite. Oh, Houston, Texas. Right? What are you doing way up here? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Okay, so somebody got a short little ride up. So once they say, oh, you know, what are you doing? I'm glad you asked. So I can't really go over it right now, but here's a card. Why don't we go exchange information? I'll be glad to share that with you later on, because they're going to get off the elevator in a few moments. And sometimes you get it done in the elevator pitch, sometimes you don't, but you got to try every time.
Sure, absolutely. There's no question about it. Now, what would you say is one of the number one personal habits of yours that's really contributed most to your success?
A personal habit, I think, is always getting better. One of my habits is to always get better than I was. And listening to Jim Rohn, who is one of my mentors before he passed away, he'd always say, you know, what's happening? You know, you're getting better. He said, who can get better? Anybody. I think we can all get better. So one thing I try to work on is myself, because he said very clearly to me through his teachings, work harder on yourself than you do on your business. And so every day I'm kind of working on myself, trying to be a better person than I was yesterday. Love more people, be more forgiving, have more fun, lighten up a little bit, read a book, learn some more, listen to to audio tape. So I try to have a ritual of my everyday habits where I get up early, maybe 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I try to make sure that I get some prayer time in, and then I'm going to try to get a little bit of quiet time in for my daily call. So about 8 o'clock, I'm trying my best to be listening to some Zig Ziglar, or listening to some Jim Rohn, or maybe some Les Brown, or Tony Robbins, or just somebody that I'm listening to try to make myself better in some area, some way. It's not but just a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow. I just have to become a little bit better than I was yesterday. Because here's what I always say. You know, I tell people all the time, say with me, you are the leader of thousands. And they say, I'm the leader of thousands. I'm the leader of thousands. But you got to say that and believe that when you're the leader of zero. See, because now you have to ask yourself a question. What kind of person must I become that 1,000 people would want to follow me? 1,000 people would want to call me their leader. And then become that person. And you'll see that one day it'll be true. You'll look behind, and they will be following you.
Boy, that right there, now that is good. I am the leader of thousands. I literally was just looking at a thing on Facebook a minute ago that it was a gentleman that had his young daughter. She seemed like she was maybe about 3 years old, and he was doing positive affirmations with her, and he was saying, you know, that today is going to be a great day. And she said, today is going to be a great day. And then, you know, the next thing was, hey, nobody's better than me. And then I'm no better than anyone else. And he went through this whole positive affirmation just to mentally prepare her for the day at like 3 years old. It was one of the coolest things I've seen. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, mentally preparing yourself, you know, for the day, because you know the world is going to beat you down and throw a whole bunch of stuff at you. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So when you're talking about the world throwing stuff at you, so obviously we're out there, you know, Ambit Consultants, we're doing what we do. We're trying to show people how to save money on electricity, help other people do the same thing, and you know, energy in general, electricity, gas. But sometimes people ain't on the same page we are, right? So what's one of the number one objections that you get whenever you're talking to a new prospective consultant? Maybe you showed them the plan, and then they maybe throw some kind of objection at you.
Yeah, you know, first of all, you have to be okay with an objection, because people are going to object. Okay, maybe they had a bad experience with another network marketing company, and they're going to assume that it's going to be bad over here as well. Maybe they don't think they have enough time to work the business. Maybe they don't have enough money to get started. So give people room to object. I think that some people just kind of wear their feelings too tightly on their shoulder. And, you know, they get upset. For example, somebody says, well, you know, is that one of those pyramids? You know, I've seen people just tear into somebody. What do you mean, pyramid? Hey, if I want to get a job, I'll get a job. You're like, wait a minute. wait a minute. Back up. Breathe. Give them a chance to object. And then say, oh, so what I like to do, Doug, and I like to repeat the objection back to them and make them explain themselves. So I say, is that one of those pyramids? I say, oh, a pyramid? Can you explain what you mean by pyramid? And they said, well, you know, one of those things where you got to make all money, you only got a little hustle people. Oh, no, this is not one of those. Yeah, you mean like one of those Ponzi schemes, one of those pyramid chain letters and that kind of stuff? You know, I make them explain it and let them know, oh, no, this is not that. They just answer that question and move along. But give people space to object.
That's good. That's real good. Because, it's funny. I was doing a coaching call with someone today. They were going to do a three-way call with me, and the person's boss walked in, and so we did a little coaching call instead of the three-way call. But the funny thing is the lady that was the prospect, if you will, basically said, is this one of those pyramid things? And she said it in a positive way. The consultant took it the right way. She's like, yeah, you know, one of those things where people make money and, you know, they all get together. So that's really relevant. And that's a good nugget, guys, because if you're tuned in listening right now, you know, they may not even mean anything by it. They may think, you know, a pyramid is where, you know, the people, you know, you get a little higher, you make a little more money, and that's a real great way to go. And if you get offended by it, you may just turn them off, and it, you know, limits your opportunity to help them earn some additional money and your opportunity to grow your business. So that's a real good one, Pastor Kenny. I like that one a lot. Now, when it comes to customers, what about customers? And you know, maybe you showed them the plan and they really weren't, for whatever, interested in that. Maybe they said they're not business-minded. They don't want to make no money. And you don't really want that kind of person on your team, maybe. But they do have electricity at their house. And they say, well, I just want to kind of think about it. I like my current provider. They've been pretty good to me.
Yeah. I hear that all the time. They've been good to me. I'm like, what? They gave me some money? What they do? I flip it around a little bit sarcastically, but not offensively. You said they've been good to you. What have they done to you? They kind of wrote you into the wheel? Or what did they do? They don't give me any problems. I said, yeah, but you know, do you know if you're paying too much or not? Let me give you a cost analysis. And if I can save you money, then I will. If I can't save you money, then I can't. Fair enough? And you know, you'd be surprised how far that would go with somebody. We go, no, I just want to see if I can help. And I said, well, no, you know, I'm doing good. My bill's all right. I don't have a problem with that. Okay, well, I appreciate you. And remember, you just back off. I mean, there are plenty of customers out there. So you have to always go by the industry standard of SW, 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 SW next. Some will. Some won't. So what? Somebody, someone, somewhere is waiting next. Because you can't get every one of them. You can't. There's just no way. And so you have to kind of know when to be aggressive and know when to be passive. Because the customer that you don't get today, if you handle them right, if you lead with your heart, lead with your heart. I care about your energy. I care if you're paying too much. Lead with your heart. You'd be surprised 2 months, 3 months, a year down the road. They say, hey, Doug, are you getting that energy thing? Yeah. Great. I really got a disagreement with my energy company. I'm mad at them right now. I'm really looking to get a provider or save some money, whatever happened. Can you help? Absolutely, I can. And that comes because you understood that you're in the people's business. And that's what you're in the people business, and you've got to treat people like they're the most important thing in your business, because the truth is, they really are.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's no question about that. Now, you jumped in the business. Was it in 2007 that you jumped into business, or was it in 06?
2007.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you jumped in the business, and obviously you jumped out there and made it happen real quick. But when do you feel was the tipping point for your career where you really realized, you know, I've done all the other stuff, I've done all the rest, now I am with the best, and this is going to be my career? When did that happen? Was there a specific event?
This is going to shock some people here, Doug. That happened for me on my sixth residual check.
Okay,
because remember, I've been in this business, I've been in this industry for 25 plus years now. Probably about maybe a little over 9.5, right up with Ambit. So that's another, 17 years of fast start money. And so everything I was making was simply team growth, fast start bonuses on product overrides, and product volumes, and PV, and auto ship, and all that. And I never noticed ever a moment in any of those companies where I could walk away and have a residual check. I was beginning to believe that there was no such thing as residual. I was thinking, man, you know what? I see the fast start. I see the hustle money. I see the growth, team growth money. I see the builder bonuses. But I don't. I don't see anything, walk away residual. Something that I can eventually just turn my back away from and say, I've spent 8 years, I've spent 7 years, I've spent 20 years. When can I actually walk away from these businesses? And I never saw a moment that I could walk away from the business that would continue to pay me residual, because, you know, they were dependent upon somebody, auto ship, and somebody doing it over and over again, even though it was not a necessity. When I linked the necessity of electricity to my residual, I said, well, I want to watch this for a while, because I've never seen it before. I mean, prepaid legal, I've never seen it. You know, ACN, I never saw it. NSA, water purchase, I never saw it. So I said, you know what, let me see. My first residual check was $24. I said, oh, okay, that's pretty nice. Then my second residual check was 48-something. I said, whoop, that's good. My third one, up to $70-something. I said, whoa, it's going up. And then the next one was $340-something. The next one was $700-something. And my sixth residual check was $1,100 plus. On that sixth residual check, breaking four figures, I said, this is the company. This is the one I want to retire on. This is the one I want to put everything I have into. Because if I can do this in a few months of massive action, it can turn into a walk-away residual of over four figures and now five figures in residual, this is where I want to be.
You know, that's a great explanation. And you know, over the years, I've been part of a lot of stuff, not in the MLM or direct sales world, but just in general. And, you know, when I work real hard, I make a bunch of money. But if I stopped working real hard, I stopped making a bunch of money. And the residual income was absolutely what attracted me to Ambit. Now, I didn't necessarily see it, and that was a tipping point. It was more of I wanted to work hard to do all the things to get the residual coming in, because long term, that is all I cared about. I didn't care about getting whatever money I got at RC, at SC, even at EC. The bonuses are great and everything, but it's that residual money that's the real deal. There's no question about it, and it can really get huge and change your life. And I often ask people, you know, whether they're new consultants or prospective consultants, you know, if close your eyes for just a minute and think about it. And if at the end of this month you had gotten going, and then you got a little rhythm going, and next month you had all the money you needed to come in to pay all your bills, would you still continue to get up and do things the same way every day? And, you know, the reality is most people wouldn't. You know, they would do a thing or two a little bit different. So I know you've had an opportunity to do a lot of things different in life, and a lot of that thanks to your hard work and your hustle and the Ambit opportunity. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the memories that have been created because of Ambit?
Yes, and absolutely. Just recently. Well, you know, when I got started, we were struggling. So Ambit allowed me to do things I never was able to do before. I can tell you a couple of stories. First of all, being broke and busted and disgusted, you know, I never had a new car. Never. Here I am from age 19, been married many years. Now Ambit finds me, I'm actually at that point about 43, somewhere around there. Never a new car. Always a used car. I jokingly say that every car I had was at least 5 years the date, outdated. So if it was 2000, if it was 1976, my car was a 1969. You know, I just never had a car. Those dates are off, but I never had a car that was, you know, even close to the style. So when I go to a car lot, I would expect to go to the used car lot. Never pull into the new car lot. I can't afford anything on the new car lot. So I get a car. The car was new to me, but it had 120,000 miles on it. Mm-hmm. The salesman said, "Hey, here's a nice one. You can afford this one. It's great. Hey, guess what? You know, here's the keys. Drive around the corner, see if you like it." And I, "Oh, it looks good. Get cleaned up good. Looks good on the engine." But it has 100,000 miles on it. But that's the lifestyle I live, because I never thought I could have a new car. And so in 2 years after getting inside of Ambit Energy, I was able to walk into Toyota. And I bought a brand new Toyota Camry for my wife. Mm. 0 miles, a year ahead of the date. So here was, you know, 2009, I'm buying a 2010 off the showroom floor. I'll tell you, I brought it home to her. She didn't know what was going on. She was looking for my little clunker. I said, "Step outside. It was nighttime. Step outside, baby. I got something for you." She threw outside. She's like, "Wow, I'm looking for you. Where's the truck?" "Where?" I had a little broken down clunker truck. She said, "Where's the truck?" I said, "Look, it's the car. I'm in the car." "Whose car is that?" I said, "This is yours. Come on out. Take a ride. Take a ride around the block." You know, that's the thing they can do for you.
Mm. You know, that's quite a feeling. And, you know, sometimes in the Texas market, we take it for granted, because life is pretty good in Texas a lot with our Ambit business and with a lot of different things. But, you know, it's the simple thing. There's a lot of people out there that a few hundred extra dollars a month, you know, to a couple thousand could make a huge difference in their life. And, you know, we all love the millionaires. And, hey, trust me, man, I like your million-dollar jacket, and I want to get me one of those, and a purple one be even better. But really, you know, in your situation, you know, a few hundred extra dollars a month, you know, maybe $400 or $500, whatever it was, enabled you to go from, you know, always getting some kind of inferior kind of cars is kind of how you're explaining it, either old and just a clunker, or, you know, looks good on the outside, but really underneath the hood, it really, you know, it was old and crusty, to bring home to your bride a dependable transportation, you know, a new Toyota Camry. That's a year ahead of the year that it was. And that's a cool feeling. Now, how about anything else? Any other cool things that have happened over the years? I mean, that was one of the things, sounds like, kind of a little bit close to the beginning of your journey with Ambit. How about over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, last couple of years, we've been able to not only, live an incredible lifestyle, but we're getting ready to build our mansion. And a mansion, we found out, is anything over 7,000 square feet. So my wife and I have always wanted to have, since that time, we lived in a 5,000 square foot home on an acre of land, and we were leasing that. We didn't really buy it, but boy, the lifestyle was great. I mean, out where the deer and the antelopes play, you know. We had a great time. And but we wanted to build. You know, you can imagine, we never built a home. We never had a home, you know, so like that. So we're actually in place right now to actually start construction, or else we got the land that we got picked out, but we don't know whether we'll build on the land or go look at something that's already purchased. But we're in the market about 7,000 square feet. And it's a tool. Why? Because we need a tool. Because tools are the things that catch vision. We want to catch vision with our life. That if we came from, you know, those kind of odds, you know, a little bit of nothing, struggling, and to a place where we can live on, have a man's cave and all the things that we've always wanted, that's where we are today. Money is not an issue. You know, it's what do you want? It's kind of like, you know, we always talk about finally being able to read the left side of the menu only. Imagine reading the left side of the menu only, which means you don't look at the prices. You look at the desire. You look at, what do I want? How bad do I want that? And then it doesn't matter. I was out eating today, and it's amazing how people who are stuck in that realm, where I used to be, I totally understand. I totally get it. But the waiter said, I said, listen, I'm telling on myself right now, but I had a half stack of ribs, okay? and the ribs were good, but I still wanted some catfish, okay? And I wanted some extra cornbread with my collard greens. And so every time I said I wanted extra, the waitress said, you know, it's going to be an extra $4 for those. I said, yeah, okay, go ahead and get it. And I said, listen, I want the catfish in more, one or two. I said, just give me one, because I'm, you know, I shouldn't eat two, but he's like sinning. I said, I'll just eat one. And then she said, you know, it's $7.99 per catfish. I said, yeah, go ahead and bring it. See, I mean, it's amazing. What do you want? If you want it, then go ahead and get it. Don't look at the price. You know, I think it was Jim Rohn that said, stop saying prices are too high. It's not that prices are too high, it's that you don't make enough.
Ooh.
Stop saying that I wish things were cheaper. No, wish that you were richer. He said, turn it around to live the lifestyle that you desire. So right now, being able to purchase and build at our choice, whichever kind of home we want to live in, is remarkable to us.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. I get golden nuggets out of every show I do, but, man, I am scribbling stuff down like nobody's business. And, as always, we'll put all these show notes on ambitiousradio.com, and you can go back in and kind of reflect upon all the things that Pastor Kenny's talking about. But with that being said, you know, you're talking about stop saying the prices are too high, and just look at the left side of the menu. Get yourself into a position where you can just order what you want and don't worry about what it costs. But with that being said, obviously, one of the key things you got to do to get to that point is show the plan. So when we're talking about showing the plan, tell us a little bit about kind of how that works for you. Is there a specific video that you use? Do you use the ones that are the corporate ones? Do you use the EGR stuff? What is it that you like to do?
Well, you know, I am a firm believer that you can never show or say the right thing to the wrong person And you can never say or show the wrong thing to the right person. So it's not a specific video. If you're talking to the right person, the wrong video will work.
Yeah.
But if you're talking to the wrong person, there is no video that'll work. But I tend to use, Doug, speed over strategy. I like the short ones.
Okay.
I like the ones that you know, you can get in there real quick at lunch. Because you think about it. If I say, Doug, listen, what are you doing tomorrow? Let's do lunch. Because I'm going to show you at lunch. Well, the boss may have given you an hour for lunch. But by the time you drive to the location, that's 15 minutes. You park, you get inside. You only have about 30 minutes left because it'll take you 15 more minutes to get back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to show you a video that's going to take 20 minutes.
Right.
Because you're like, man, listen, I just good, but my mind's not on it. I got to make it work. So I try to use the short one. And I prefer using the EGR 5-minute video. And one reason is I'm on it. Okay. That's
right. Probably one. No, hey, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, I'm on it. And you know, oh, that's you. Okay, wow. But I think it's really done well because it's sitting there with a lot of jackets, a lot of different colors. People are asking questions when I watch, what's the yellow jacket? What's the purple jacket? You know, what's going on? So I think it just shows success quickly. It hits a lot of different points. It hits, you know, a government-mandated deregulation. People say, oh, the government's doing this. Oh, okay. I'm talking about it. There's no points. Then the news clips come on. You know, Abbott Energy's doing this, and Abbott Energy's in NYSEG, and I'm Energy. So the belief system comes up to, oh, okay, this is a reputable company. And so I like to use that. Personally, I use that, but, you know, I'm always using something just to get that in there. And remember something, recruiting is a process, not an event. And if we go in there and start, you know, realizing that people normally join your business on the second, third, fourth, look at the opportunity. So what I do, Doug, I go in and I'll tell the person. I say, hey, Doug, listen, I know it's going to be quick, it could be short, and I know you're going to need more information after this, but my thing is, I just want to start the process. This is not something that you got to do today, but definitely I understand that we can take another look deeper if it makes sense to you. Fair enough. What I just do, I just made the person feel like I'm not going to try to hog time. I'm not going to try to beat them down and throw them down and get their wallet out of their pocket. So I said to them, just, you know, I understand. But I know recruiting is a process, not an event. So the shorter, the better. It's a briefing. Don't try to go through the whole compensation plan and all that. No, it's a briefing. You're fishing. You want them to bite at it. You want them to nibble on it till one day they take the whole bait. So remember, shorter is better in my perspective. Shorter is better. And when I fish, letting them watch the video, I always ask, what did you like most? I think people make a big mistake, Doug, and they say, what did you think? Because mm-hmm. You say, what do you think? Then, you know, they're like, well, I did something like this before. You know, you're asking for all the negative stuff. When you say what you like most, they automatically go to looking internally to see, what did I like most about that? Well, I like this, I like that. And then that's a positive way to possibly close the opportunity.
You know, that's really good stuff. And you know, what did you like most? Because all the answers are going to have to be something they like. And unless they say, I didn't like nothing, well, then, hey, have a nice day. But that's really good because some people set themselves up for stepping into a bear trap where they jump out there and they ask them, you know, hey, what kind of questions you got? And they think they got to be a genius and come up with a bunch of questions for you. And, well, let me come up with a whole bunch of things and I'll get back with you. You know, that's really, really good. What did you like? What was your favorite part or what did you like most? That's really, really good. Now, I know you talked about mentoring and some of the folks that have invested time in you over the years. Do you have any favorite books or recordings or things that you really like to either go back and revisit or recommend that Ambit consultants, as they kind of get up to speed and get rolling, just go back in and reference or read?
You know, I have many books, but I would say that there are several things I recommend. I recommend, you know, Who Moved My Cheese. Who Moved My Cheese definitely gets to give people an idea that things are moving, opportunities are moving, You can't stay in one spot. You have to move with it. You have to go with it. And Humu Machiz is a great book to read. I also think they should read The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. The Slight Edge meaning that, you know, when you think about the person that wins the race. You know, the girl the other day at the Olympics that she tripped and fell at the finish line, but because she did, you know, her hand crossed over the finish line before the person's leg did. She won just by a slight edge, and whoever remembers who number two was, you know, you only remember the number one. And we say number two is the first loser. Second place is the first loser. So, you know, loser number one, loser number two. So you have to have that mindset. The slight edge covers that. Then you got books like The Compound Effect, Darren Hardy. Those are great books that talk about things compounding over time. But one CD that I think everybody should listen to. You don't even need to go step two to listen to Jim Rohn's Building Your Network Marketing Business. I think that is stellar when he talks about, you know, the man sows the seed and then the birds come and get the seeds and, you know, and that you can't go fighting the birds because you just got to keep sowing the seeds because if you sow enough seeds, the birds can't possibly get them all. I mean, just great stuff like that. So those are some of the books I would suggest. And the reason I suggest personal development is the only way you will be a top performer. There are no top performers who didn't work on themselves. You know, there are no top performers that didn't work on themselves. And so here's a saying that I'll pass on. The most weighty things in life are on the top shelf. And the only way to reach them is by standing on the books that you've read. You have to stand on the ladder of all the books you've read to get to the top things in life. There's no way to get there except you work on you. And those books I gave you are good starter books. There are plenty of other books that you can read. You know, Think and Grow Rich. I can just go on, but we'll definitely make sure that you are feeding your mind. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. Read what others want so you can live like others can't.
Man, I don't even know what I'm going to do all these golden nuggets, man. I'm just going to have to, like, list 1,000 of them out. Normally, I've got about 5 or 6. Man, I'm up to about 21 already. This is good stuff, so I appreciate you sharing. Now, when it comes to, you know, just life, okay, so we've gone through a lot of the ambit stuff, a lot of the procedural things, and just how to kind of sharpen yourself up. But what does an average day look like now, you know, for Patrick Kenny? I know you said that you get up, you know, about 5 a.m., you kind of got some prayer time, some quiet time, and you got a 8 o'clock daily call. But what does your rhythm look like after that? And then kind of sleeping habits, that kind of stuff, recharging. How do you do all that?
Well, you know, that's a good question, you know. When you think about things like, you know, what does it take to stay on top? I would say this. Don't overdo it, but do all you can do. Does that make sense? Don't overdo it, but do all you can do. People that overdo it, they tend to burn out. You know, I mean, you know, if I decided I was going to go on another blitz for losing weight, I think it would be better for me to say, I'm going to walk a mile. You know, until I start feeling better, then I say, well, I'll jog a little bit. But no, if I'm about to say, I'm going to run a mile every day. Well, I mean, come on. I haven't run any miles in the last 5 years, so why would I run a mile every day? I think people finally say, I'm not doing nothing in my ambit business. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to 15 people a day. That's too much. Mm-hmm. Just bring it down to a number that is always moving your ambit business forward every day. And that number is 3 a day. 3 a day is better than 0 that you've been doing for the last month. You know, if it's 5 a day, 5 is better than the 0 you've been doing for the last 5 months. So just come out there, be aggressive, do some good things, add to it later, but don't overdo it, but do all that you can do. So what I do, some days are stellar days. I had a stellar day today. I had a guy out of Maryland call me that a lady had talked to in my organization. He was super fired up. That was a stellar day. He got started. He's doing his field training, and he signed up another person. That was a stellar day. But on some days, nothing happens. Nobody talked to anybody. Nobody called me excited. Nobody wanted to get started. That you're going to have days like that. So I would say, get ready for the long haul and do something every day. Always push your business forward. Now, you know, I know you, I think I heard you say that you play golf a little bit. Is that right?
I've played a little golf in the past. Now, I'm an all or nothing kind of guy, so I wasn't that good. So when I found that out, I sold my clubs and canceled my membership. But I have played a little over the years.
There you go. Well, here's the thing about it. If you can just keep the ball going forward, this is what I teach people. In golf, it might not go straight. And a lot of times my ball does not go straight. It hooks, it slices. The key to the game is find your ball, okay? I mean, if you hit it down there, keep your eyes on it, but it's going forward. It's going forward. And as long as it's going forward, you're going to get to the green. Now, it might be a par four. It might not get to the green until four. The other guy got there in two. Doesn't matter. You both got to the green. You gotta realize that life is all about pushing the ball forward. Keeping your eyes on the ball. Don't go into the water trying to stay out the woods, but just keep the ball going forward. Forward progress every day. Some days you get a little bit better hit than other days. You know, I remember that time I was playing golf. I said, man, my driver was really on. My putting was terrible. The other day, my putting was good. My driver was terrible. The other day, I got there, and everything's terrible. Some days, everything's kind of good. The key to this business, remember that it's going to be a overtime situation. Give yourself time to succeed. Keep the ball going forward. Every day, do something to make sure your ambit business goes forward, and eventually it'll catch on. You'll be a top performer.
No question about it. That's great, great stuff. Now, when it comes to vacations, do you have any specific place you like to go, a favorite vacation or a favorite time of the year you like to kind of check out for a little while and do your thing?
Well, you know what? You know, I'd love to do some vacation. I travel a lot, helping the team, so I kind of call that a vacation. But right now, moving to Rhode Island, my hope is that I get a chance to visit some of these places like Martha's Vineyard and, you know, going out. I got on my schedule to go out and just kind of take a couple of cruises out on the water. And there's a lot of water up here, you know. And so I'm looking to do more things that would allow me to do that. But I'll be honest with you, Doug, I've been out here for a long time. I've been intentional. There is intentional success, and then there's something called accidental success. But more likely, you're going to have intentional success. If a person counts on accidental success, I wouldn't count on that. You know, there are some people that, you know, you just bump into a top performer. You know, you think about it. You know, I'm not saying that Debbie's success was accidental, but for her to bump into me, that was kind of not like the fish jumped in the boat. And then she got Rigoberto Yepes as a second-level person from a guy that quit the business. You know, she has Mir Golden that she met, you know, have hands with me. So these are all million-dollar earners. You know, she has Phil Toler, who actually brought in Sue Cumbrella, and then they brought in Ron Jenkins, who brought in Kim and Jim Mason. I mean, you know, this is stuff that just kind of happens over time. So, but you're going to have some success, but you got to be intentional. So I've been working really hard on being intentional. I'm finally at the top of the mountain. There's no more positions above me, thank God. And so I've made it to the top. Now it's time to really go visit some places, and my next time I talk to you on your call, I better tell you about some places that we went to.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I really am. Well, we're really wrapping up the end of the show here, and you know, would love to know just a couple of other little things. If you've got somebody that maybe either just started in the business or maybe they've even been it for a while, but they're sputtering along. Something's happened to where they came in, you really kind of thought they were going to be the one, they're going to make it happen, and then it's like they just kind of lose a little steam. And maybe they had something in life legit happen, but that's kind of passed, but they're kind of still not back on track again. What do you say to somebody like that to kind of give them a little kick in the pants and get them going again?
You know, what I found out is that when people are quitting, you just can't give them a kick in the pants because they made up their mind that they can't do it. And you know the old saying that if they think they can, they can. If they can't, they can't. So what I've learned to do is I learned to love them back into business. I learned to forgive them back into the business. So I go to them, I say, hey, Doug, man. Hey, man, how you doing, man? He said, oh, things are going well. I say, Doug, listen, man, I've been missing you, man. I know you've been doing your bit. I know things happened to you. I give all the excuses. I know you had this happen, or you had divorce and took its toll on you and so forth, man, and hadn't seen you in a while. But you know what, Doc? Since you've been gone, I've been really moving forward. I've been studying. I've been learning more things. I've been training. And, man, I've learned a lot since the last time me and you talked. That can really help your business, man. You know, and listen, I know things happen, but I've learned more. Can we begin again? Can we start all over? I mean, you know, you're still in the business, you hadn't canceled, so give it another shot. You know, start tomorrow, maybe we get together for some lunch or something. You know, what you say? Because you didn't come, you didn't beat him up, you didn't try to make him feel bad. Where you been? You know, you just kind of make him feel okay. Yeah, let's start again. Yeah, I'll start tomorrow. I'll give it a try. That's when you find out that you win. When you love somebody back in. So I think that the key is, you know, make them feel okay about slowing down, but never make them feel okay about quitting. You know, if they slow down, you know what? They're back. All I care, like the Bible talks about the prodigal son, all I care about is you're back. Mm. Okay? But I'm not going to make you feel good about quitting, because quitting is never okay. But taking a break, you know, just through storms of life, storms of wind blow, you know, you're getting beat up, you know. Yeah, you know what? Hey, man, I saw what happened to you. But I see you're okay now, man. I'm glad that you're okay. Hey, can we start again? Can we give another shot? That's going to win every time.
You know, that's a great approach. And, you know, I'm always looking for those ways. And, you know, a lot of times guys in the business that are doing pretty good, you know, it's because they're aggressive. They're out there making stuff happen. And the problem is when you're aggressive, it's kind of hard to deal with people that turned off the aggressiveness. You know what I mean? You don't want to be around that kind of scenario. But I love that. Love them back into the business. Put your arm around them. Hey, man, I know you had this and this going on. But hey, man, I've been missing you. You know, that's really, really great stuff. Now, really the last question I got for you, okay, is if you could go back at any time in your life and give yourself one piece of advice, what would that advice be, and at what time in your life would it have been? And it can't be, oh, I would have got back, I would have signed up a year earlier or 5 months earlier when Debbie first told me with Ambit. That can't be the answer. Anything else can be your answer. But just, you know, what kind of advice would you have given yourself, and what were you doing at that time?
Well, that's a great question. You know, you got me, because I got to really put some thought in this one, because you know, I've had some turns and some things to do. But I think if I could have gone back at any point in my life, I think I would have prepared better. I think I would have prepared better for the learning process. I think I could have shortened my learning curve if I had prepared earlier. And here's what I mean by that. I didn't know till later. I mean, you get to hearing all these cliches and one-liners. And some of these one-liners are the dumbest things in the world. Don't make no sense. Like, you know, a bird in the hand, belly two in the bush. You know, that don't make any sense. You know, another one-liner they have is slow and steady wins the race. What are you talking about? How does slow and steady win? You know, this stuff will mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard a statement once that said, failure is not an option. Mm. And it took me years to overcome that statement, because what I found out, and I started studying the lives of people, I got a chance to listen to Napoleon Hill. He researched all the great people to find what the common thread would be for success. And failure was just scribbled all over the pages of these people's lives. And so when you say failure is not an excuse, failure is not an option. That means I'm afraid to fail, so I won't try. I'm afraid to fail, but I know they meant, you know, I'm not going to fail, I'm not going to quit, but the way it comes out is that failure is not an option, but the truth is, failure is the only option. You have to fail. You have to get bruised up. You have to, you're not going to be good overnight. I think it was Ronnie Kirkland that said, before you're great, you're bad. Before you're super duper, you're terrible. Somebody said, before you are a master, you are a disaster. And you got to just keep on going and accept the fact that you're not going to be good immediately. I remember asking somebody once when I found this out, when did you learn to walk? I don't know. I said, but you know what? I can promise you, you were bad at it. I can promise you when you first started, you were falling down, you were hitting your head, you were scooting along the floor. I can promise you that you wasn't doing real good at it. Who cares? Look at you now. You're running, you're skipping, you're hopping. That's kind of what life is. I would have got myself prepared for the fact to include failure as a way of success. So we all know the story kind of gets twisted around that, you know, Edison said, I have not failed 10,000 times. I have successfully found 10,000 ways that will not work. We have to get that mindset. I'm not failing as long as I'm moving forward. I think it was John Maxwell that said, you know, some people live, some people learn. Some people, you know, as long as you learn, you never fail. So that's why I would encourage anybody to keep on going. If you're a regional right now, you want to be senior last year. You're a regional right now, you said you weren't going to executive ambition no more unless you were a senior and you went to two more ambitions. What are you learning? Keep going. Keep learning. Like my friend, mentor, Steve Thompson said, but never, ever quit.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I can't, you know, all these leaders I'm interviewing, man, you guys like closed down the shows perfectly, man. I couldn't have put a better cherry on top than that right there. So I just want to thank you for your time. I know that your time is extraordinarily valuable. I've learned a ton, which is always great for me, but I know that Ambit Nation out there gets a lot out of these recordings, and I just want to tell you I appreciate you for spending some time with me today.
Hey, thank you for having me on the call and being patient and, you know, adjusting your schedule to make this happen. You're a true friend. I'm glad to have you on my side.
Yes, sir. You got it. Well, guys out there listening, remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.